This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given, and this is Imani McGee Stafford.
I grew up in an athletic house, to say the least, so I was always around basketball.
You may have heard of Imani's older brother, two-time NBA champion JaVale McGee, or her mom, WNBA Hall of Famer Pam McGee.
I did theater. I did computers. I definitely thought that I was going to be the one person in my family that didn't play basketball. I was really adamant on it.
Imani ended up in the WNBA anyway. And this is probably a good time to mention that parts of her story are difficult to hear. It includes mentions of sexual abuse and suicide. Here's Only a Game's Matthew Stock.
Imani McGee Stafford says her childhood was confusing. She got good grades, she laughed a lot, but something didn't feel quite right.
If you look at me quickly, you were like, oh, okay, she's fine, she's doing great. But once we have a conversation, like, I had a really dark sense of humor, really cynical, really critical. And then you figure out, like, oh, maybe something's going on.
Imani's parents divorced when she was 3 years old. She spent her early childhood living with her father, Kevin Stafford.
I was daddy's girl, like, umpteenth degree, like, on his hip at everything.
When Imani was 8, her dad remarried. One day when she was 10, her 15-year-old stepbrother was babysitting.
And they had said, like, don't leave her alone because I was the nosiest kid ever. And, of course, teenage boy goes and starts playing video games, whatever. I had discovered my parents' divorce papers.
Pam McGee's and Kevin Stafford's bitter divorce had been high profile years earlier.
And I, like, run into my room, sneak it in there, and I just devour it, read the whole thing. And from there, it just kind of went downhill.
Imani's father had argued in court that Pam's WNBA career prevented her from being a good mother. There were allegations of abuse and neglect on both sides.
I don't really know if you ever know how to digest that information, even as an adult. Figuring out that your parents are human and that you may have been hurt or somebody kind of dropped the ball in terms of protecting you as a child, that's hard, especially for a 10-year-old. 10 was actually the first time I tried to commit suicide.
Imani's stepbrother told her father about her suicide attempt, and she started going to therapy. When the family couldn't afford it anymore, she stopped. It would be years before Imani unpacked the full extent of her trauma. Meanwhile, in middle school, Imani found a new lifeline.
I always thought I was going to be a singer, and when I was younger, I actually took it serious. And like I wrote songs, and when we got to 7th, 8th grade English, we started reading The Diary of Anne Frank, Tupac, and I like just discovered the world of poetry and fell in love and immediately like just abandoned music altogether, and poems and poetry just kind of became my thing. Just being angry and sad and being able to write those feelings down was definitely cathartic for me.
Imani started using library computers to watch videos of poets performing their work. She wrote poems about her life and performed them for the first time.
Little did I know, performing poetry at a middle school talent show isn't the coolest thing. And like, I spent the whole year being made fun of because of it. And while it was highly embarrassing, the entire experience kind of gave me more love for the stage.
And having cleared 6'5" as a middle schooler, Imani finally started playing basketball.
Eventually, it made more sense because, you know, not many 6'7" female roles are written, you know, so on one end, it made me kind of feel inadequate, or I had this huge like expectation and it sucked. As soon as I walked in the gym, people would ask me how my mom was. It was just kind of a constant reminder of somebody that wasn't there. And then on the other hand, it was kind of my peace. To go in a gym and shut out the world. It didn't matter what was happening, but as soon as I walked in practice, like, I could breathe. None of that stuff mattered.
In high school, Imani developed as a basketball player. Colleges started to recruit her. But then...
We're in class, and I'm taking a psychology class, and we're reading about abuse and the triggers of abuse and what abuse victims look like. And I'm literally seeing myself on the page. Habits I have. Behaviors I have, things I do. And then on the other side of that, I now have my first boyfriend. And we're talking about sex and like what that looks like in our relationship. And that's when it kind of, I start having really bad nightmares and night terrors and remembering things. I barely could sleep. And that's kind of the first time I'm like, wow, I think I was sexually abused.
Imani says her abuse started when she was 8 and continued for nearly 5 years.
When you're being abused or going through abuse, if you don't know better, which most kids don't, you think it's normal.
Imani attempted suicide 2 more times in high school. She spent the first 3 weeks of her junior year receiving intense treatment in an institution, but she still didn't tell her father about her sexual abuse. Imani and her dad fought. She was kicked out of the house multiple times.
I started getting high. I started just acting out in every way possible.
By this time, Imani had committed to play college basketball at the University of Texas. But soon, even that was in question.
I'm kicked out of my house. I just got kicked out of school unofficially. And at the same time, Gail Gossencourse, who was the coach that recruited me to Texas, has resigned. So I technically don't have a college scholarship because when it rains, it pours.
Then Imani got a call from Texas's new head coach, Karen Aston.
It was so much easier for her to just say, like, this kid has problems. I'm good. Let me get the next five-star recruit. And instead, she asked me what was going on, and I told her. I told her about my abuse. I told her I got high. I told her about my suicide attempts, and she just understood. I'll probably never know why she tried and gave me the chance she did, but God, I thank God for her.
Playing basketball at Texas meant a full scholarship, access to mental health resources, and the opportunity to move away from home. Imani graduated from high school in 2012 and joined Karen Aston's team in Austin that fall.
If I asked your college teammates what you were like as a freshman, what would they say?
God. They would run you out of here. Man, you don't know how bad this little knuckleheaded 17-year-old that stepped on Texas's university was. I was a naturally smart kid in high school, but I had no study habits whatsoever because I didn't need them. And so my first semester in college, I was like, psh, I don't need tutors. Like, what do you mean? What is this academic resources? Like, I don't need this. I don't need that. And at the end of the semester, I had a 2.7 and it shattered my little heart. And now academics is like, hey, can we help you? Like, let us help you. Like, you don't have to do it alone. And acknowledging that it was okay to ask for help and me needing help didn't make me any less human, any less successful, any less strong, powerful, whatever, was easily the biggest lesson.
And even though Imani says she was stubborn as a mule, her basketball teammates stepped up too.
To be able to have that safety net, that feeling of we love you even when you kind of suck, was new for me. It's the first time I really knew a community or a family, per se, that I felt loved me regardless.
Imani was named Big 12 Rookie of the Year in 2013. And a few weeks after her season ended, she came across information for the Austin International Poetry Festival.
I dragged my boyfriend to it. God bless his heart.
Imani describes slam poetry as competition for artsy folks. Poets read their work, and audience members score them from 1 to 10. She wasn't planning on performing, but an organizer convinced her to get on stage.
I read the poems on my phone, and I get fourth place overall. I started going to slams and open mics and listening to the people who didn't necessarily look like me or come from where I come from express the same emotions that I felt, express the same events or the same things that have happened to me in my life.
Imani added a new part to her routine. After morning classes and four-hour afternoon practices, she'd rush to different coffee shops and venues around Austin to attend poetry slams.
I found a community in poetry.
The summer after her sophomore year, Imani traveled with the Austin Youth Slam team to a competition in San Francisco. UT Athletics sent a video production team with her to film a short segment for Longhorn Network.
I guess they thought I was going to be talking about, like, rainbows and sunshine. And I'm up there talking about being molested as a child.
It was the first time she directly addressed her abuser in a poem she performed.
Back then, we were the same height. You convinced me that playing house included far more than what Barbie and Ken came equipped with. That if I wanted to be an actress, I was never too young for a sex scene. It wasn't like SVU. I didn't scream. Stabler never came to my rescue. This was normal. For
years, the producer comes up to me and he's like, hey, what are you talking about? Like, are you comfortable, like, talking on camera about what your poetry is about? So I tell him the story and I just tell him everything.
Because I'm a suicide survivor. I'm a molestation survivor. Like, I've done this. You know what I mean?
And I think what Imani didn't know is that Longhorn Network is owned by ESPN. So when the segment was finished, ESPN was the first to see it.
They like it. They bump it. And, like, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And now they're running this story during March Madness on SportsCenter prime time on ESPN, and I'm freaking out. And the first thing I was scared. People I grew up with didn't know this. Like, my grandmother found out stuff on that special that she didn't know.
You will become addicted to television. To families that look so different than your own, you will envy the parent-child relationships, the way the parents are so approachable.
And I just felt very naked. But then the craziest thing happened. So many people reached out to me and were like, we support you, or we're so proud of you, or we're so sorry you went through this. My teammate, her mother came up to me, like, bawling, like, you just told my story and I've never told anybody, like, in my life.
Other people shared similar experiences.
That kind of changed the trajectory of my life.
Imani just finished her second season in the WNBA. She sees her therapist when she needs to, keeps a daily prayer journal, and writes poetry.
I just wrote a poem the other day. It's my happy voice.
Imani says that by being unashamed about her journey, she's been able to live the life she wants to. This past summer, she published her first book of poetry and held a book signing.
All of my teammates on the Dream showed up and purchased a book. I was so freaked out, and my coaches came and they all took pictures and posted about it and bought a book. And I was like, I was such a big sap at the end of the day. Like, they couldn't see it, but like, when I went home, I like cried happy tears. As much as I would like to think that I'm the next poet savant, it's really just because I play basketball, and it's different for people to be both athlete and artist. Not all of us are given the platform to do both, the ability to do both, or the courage to do both.
How did basketball make you feel, and how did poetry make you feel?
I consider poetry air. It was my way to exhale, my way to express things that I didn't know how to say. While basketball was confidence, it was the ability to feel like I was bigger than whatever I was going through. When I made a free throw or got a good block or rebound, whatever, I just felt so much bigger than whatever was trying to kill me. I guess I'm a poet first, but I think like poet is who I am and basketball is what I do.
That's Imani McGee Stafford. Thanks to Only Game's Matthew Stock for this story. If you or somebody you know are in crisis, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is available 24/7 at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255.